everyone, and welcome to Word of Mom Radio. I'm Dori DiCarlo, and you know we are here week after week just breaking those myths that mompreneurs just dabble in business in between, you know, bake sales and getting our nails done. We are smart businesswomen who are finding that balance between building a business and raising a family. And when I say balance, I don't mean equality. I mean juggling all those balls that you have to juggle. And I'm so excited because today is the debut of Productive Playtime with Debbie Dutton and eventually Alyssa Sanger. Alyssa's not going to be here today because she is a new mommy. So she has officially joined the ranks of mompreneur, but I always look at Debbie and Alyssa because they are a mother-daughter tag team and the founders of IfNotYouWho.org, and you've heard about them for the last 2 years as one of our sponsors here on Word of Mom Radio. And to me, it's that mompreneur dream that here this mother and daughter have put together such a great site for you to be able to go to help your child become ready for kindergarten with over 300 free activities that you can do with them in 10 or 15 minutes' time, and they've done the guesswork for you. They have it all mapped out, and it's right there for you. Before we launch into the show and I bring Debbie in, I just want to say thank you to our sponsors today, Healthy Concepts. Renee Sullivan is just an amazing woman, and you have to go to ReSully.com and find out about the health and wellness that she shares, not only on her website, in her blog, and in her daily life. And thank you again to Safety First Bags. You go to our website, wordofmomradio.com/offer/, you can check out the checkpoint-friendly laptop bags and backpacks offered by Safety First Bags. So stop removing your laptop at every airport checkpoint. Give yourself the gift of convenience. It's a special price and free shipping. So, and you can visit wordofmomradio.com/MMM and meet all of our sponsors in our Mompreneur Marketplace. So with all that being said and our sponsors being thanked, I want to bring you in and welcome you to, you know, your show.
Well, thank you, Dori. We are really excited. This is our debut, and when you listen to the show, which we did tape ahead because Alyssa was having a baby, you will know that we are just not knowing exactly what the listeners want out there, but we gave them everything that we thought that they might wish for as far as how they can get a child ready for kindergarten.
Well, you know, and I love it because you guys will be here every month with another Productive Playtime podcast. And what a fun-filled lunch and learn to just take that 20 minutes and realize how important the activities that you do with your kids are. And there are so many different ways to incorporate daily life into learning. And so I'm really excited about what you're sharing today. Would you like to set up what everybody's going to hear, or would you like to go into it?
Well, I'll set it up very quickly because Productive Play, what we do is we go back to the website, ifnotyouwho.org, which is totally free. I mean, there's no hidden agenda. We just want to share educational knowledge. So we take an activity. So like this show, we're going to take phase one, an activity from month four, which is activity number eight. And we're going to do in Productive Play today, we're going to kind of go into depth on that activity. It's an activity about colors, but we're going to show how you can make that color hunt game that we'll introduce more difficult. We're going to show you how you can modify it to make it easier. We're going to show you how you can incorporate other skills just in that little 20, 15 minutes that you're spending. So it's just a matter of giving you tips and everyone that knows a preschooler so that they can just say, hey, I can do this, and we've done the research. All you have to do is just lay it out there for a preschooler and have some fun.
You know, I'm smiling. I was thinking of the time I was walking with my three kids, and it was a math lesson in life. These three trucks went by. One was large, one was medium, one was small. One was yellow, one was red, and one was blue. And so we had color, we had math, and we had size all in one right after the other. It was so much fun. That's what it made me think of.
And that's exactly what productive play is going to do. We'll take that activity and then give you ideas. You already knew how to do that, Dory, but some of us don't. And so we even give a list of books that you can go and read that introduce the colors to your kids that were some of our favorites. So like I said, every month to come up and to share one activity and to show you how you can make your child more independent and let them get creative with it is something that we've always wanted to do.
With that being said, it is time to debut productive play. So here we go.
Thanks, Dory. Yeah. Welcome to the Productive Play radio program from the creators of the If Not You Who website. My name is Debbie Dutton, and I want to say thanks for joining us as we share some fun and educational activities for preschoolers. Confession. This is our first show, so we don't know exactly how this works. But we are excited to converse with all of you, co-creator of the ifnotyouwho.org website that focuses on sharing with adults the knowledge necessary to prepare a child for kindergarten and life. And later in the show, I'm going to explain a bit about why that website has become such a focus in my life and what it's all about. But right now, if I were you, I would be wondering just what is this new program on Word of Mom Radio called the Productive Play? Well, we're going to chat about kids between the ages of 3 and 6, often referred to as those preschool years. So after doing research and gathering the facts that these are the years that can be vital in children's future successes, we came up with Productive Play. This is when ages 3 to 6, the basics of becoming a successful and happy and loving and contributing member to our community of others begins. So we wanted to share how exciting it is for you to play a role in creating an environment that actually fosters the love of learning by not adding items to your plate, but using your time effectively with a preschooler. Now, part of every parent's responsibility is to teach children the essential skills that are needed for development. You know, this is before they see teachers. You know, parents are there. So our goal here on Productive Play is to educate all adults on how to make the most of interacting with young children in an educational and yet fun way. So if you know a preschooler on your street or in your circle of family, in your circle of friends, in your circle of people at church or your work associate, this show is for you. How it works is that on each show, we are breaking down just one activity that is found on the ifnotyouwho.org website. We're going to inform you of the crucial skills that children should master in the opportune windows of learning for a young child before they begin school. You know, I read a study that was done in California, and it stated that they found that 86% of early learning programs were found to be mediocre or poor quality. So if you as a parent or an other adult that's in a child's life, if you're not preparing a child to learn, who do you think will fill that role? So today on the show, we welcome Alyssa Sungar. She's also one of the co-creators of the ifnotyouwho.org website. She is also a blogger for Gal Time and Mile High Mamas. And a recent blog she had on the Huffington Post Parents was titled, Is It Too Early to Teach Your Kids Manners? Welcome, Alyssa.
Hi, thanks so much for having me. I'm really excited to be on the show today and to discuss an activity from the If Not You Who website. We today are going to talk about a simple activity that is going to focus on the three primary colors, which is so important for children to know before kindergarten. So let's start off and Debbie, what are the three primary colors?
No, that's a good place to start off. You know, my answer would be red, yellow, and blue.
Which is absolutely correct. Yay! Yeah, you got it. And, you know, it's an important question to ask. You know, why is it important for children to know these primary colors before they enter school? And what should they know at each age? So the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Center for Disease Control and Prevention say that for children who are just about to turn 4, they should be able to sort and match objects by color. And then about a year later at 5, they should be able to name some of the colors out there as well as visually match colors as they should have about a year prior to that. And at age 6, about the age when children are entering kindergarten, they should be able to correctly name and visually match at least five colors.
So let me get this straight, and if I understand you correctly, let's start. A 3-year-old, they should be learning to put in separate piles. Let's say you had a pile of crayons, so they could put all the red crayons in one pile, all the yellow crayons in one pile, all the brown crayons in a pile, and they're doing it by how they look. They might not necessarily know that it's a red crayon, but they can visually see that it's a color.
Exactly. They should be able to see that they share the same color. They're visually the same. Again, yeah, they might not know that that's red or that's yellow, but they should be able to match the colors together.
Okay. So then when you talk about these guidelines that's put out by our government, they then state that a 4-year-old can say the name of some of the colors, so they can say red, blue, yellow, pink, and gray. And they're saying the names because they've heard mommy and daddy say those names or a teacher or somebody, but they don't necessarily recognize red when they hear red or yellow when they hear yellow.
Exactly. I mean, as lots of 4-year-olds, we will hear lots of words come out of their mouth. They don't actually know what it means yet.
Right.
And that's the same thing that goes here. If you ask them, you know, while you point to a red block, and ask them what color that is, they might say blue. You know, they know that blue is a color, they just might not be able to identify it yet. And that is perfectly okay. That is absolutely within the guidelines and within their development. So, yes, they should be able to know, you know, about five color names, and also still be able to visually recognize enough similar colors to group them in the same category, like we talked about before.
Okay, so correctly matching, recognizing, and saying the names of 5 colors is a prerequisite for beginning kindergarten according to this government agency, but is that a minimum or is that a maximum requirement for success, let's say, in color recognition?
You know, that's a great question. Unfortunately, the United States doesn't have a universal kindergarten readiness set of guidelines. So each state has their own. You can Google your own state's guidelines. Just to give you an idea, some guidelines list and suggest about 8 basic colors that children should be able to recognize, match, and name. Other states just say something like they want the children to be able to name some colors. They don't specify an exact amount. Since the human eye can distinguish between 1 and 10 million different colors, it would make sense to encourage a child to name and recognize as many colors as possible. And colors are everywhere. They're all around us, and it's such an easy thing to teach a child. You know, you can always be pointing out new colors that you see on the trees and on the flowers and on toys and in books. The more you can encourage a child to learn colors and recognize colors, the better they'll be. So let's move on to the activity that we have for this radio show. Like we mentioned, this is going to be focused on primary colors. And it's a good thing to note, if you have an older child or you're going to do this activity with somebody a little bit older and their primary colors, they already know their primary colors. A great way to increase level of difficulty is to ask that child to find different shades of colors. So, for example, if you were going to ask your child to find different shades of red, you could ask them to find something that is auburn or rose, wine, raspberry, or crimson, and challenge them to learn the different shades of this color.
You know, I really like your comment about always looking for new colors. Often it seems like we see a checklist and we check off it does when they reach that milestone, and then we forget to encourage them to take the next step to challenge themselves. So like when you said learning eight colors, you know, that could sound quite basic, but wow, when you think about exploring the many variations of colors, like you mentioned, auburn, rose, lime, raspberry, all those red colors, you know, that makes it great for the child and encourage them to be creative, you know, and just by letting them see the different shades of color and learn those names, you know, that's the fun of learning. And, you know, it can be kind of, I don't know, blah, if you say, hey, tell me this is red, or just tell me this is blue, or tell me this is yellow. But wow, you know, kids love to say words like ruby and scarlet. And
exactly.
And it makes them sound intelligent, you know, just adds some interest. So when we, you know, just looking at nature, if you have your child, I liked your, when you said that, wow, there's so many more than eight colors.
Exactly, exactly. So let's, and this is a great activity because this can be played almost anywhere, including outside in the home and or in the school. So let's move on and talk about the activity today, which is called the Color Hunt Game.
Oh, I love games. And just that you put game in the title, you know, I personally think, you know, I enjoy learning more when a game's involved.
Absolutely. We all enjoy learning more when it's more fun. And
yeah,
that's the goal of the show, and that's the goal of the website, the Ascent Yuhu website, is really making learning and education fun. So for this game, materials, you are going to need to collect a bag. You can let like, the kids send the bag, or you can provide a bag, and it can be anything, a pillowcase, a garbage bag, a shopping bag, a basket, you know, whatever you have in your home. This bag is going to be used to collect the different colored objects throughout the home or school or park, wherever you're playing this activity. So once you have, the child has the bag, you are going to ask the child to find three objects in the color red, or a shade of red if your child's a little bit older. So send them on their hunt for three red objects. Each time they find an object, they're going to place it in their bag, and they'll move on to find the second object. Just like we have modifications for the older children with the shades of red, for a younger child, if you remember we talked about the guidelines, they might not be able to pick out a red object on their own. So giving them an example, you know, hand them a red object to take around with them as they're on their color hunt. Then they can use that red object and match other ones that they can then place in their bag.
Wow. So you can even play this color hunt game even if a child doesn't recognize the color as red but is only able to match the color with the object in his hand, whether it be a red crayon or red sock. You know, my two-year-old grandson, they would love playing this.
Yeah, I mean it's so great. Kids don't need to. A 2-year-old can play this. A 3-year-old can play this. And this age group, they're just so naturally curious. So you know, hunting around and looking under objects and over objects and in bins is just right up their alley. So after they find three red objects, you're now going to ask them to find three blue objects, and they're also going to add that to the bag. After that, you can ask them to find and hunt three yellow objects, so totaling nine objects in their bag or in their pillowcase.
Wow, I can see I could get creative with this idea. You know, you could just open up one of their drawers of clothes and make it real simple and tell them to find three red, you know, clothing objects. Or
oh, that's a great idea.
Or give them a magazine or a book and let them just rip out one of the yellow objects or a blue object or, I just came up with another one. They could help sort my laundry. I should give them a dirty clothes basket.
Wouldn't that be great?
Find all the red clothes, find all the blue clothes, you know. And I think that you can just let the child see that colors are found in so many places.
Yes. And I loved your idea about having them look through books and magazines. When you said that, I immediately thought of that as being a wonderful car activity, actually. You know, giving a child a magazine while you're driving and asking them to find three blue, three yellow, and three objects in that magazine while they're sitting in the back seat. But that's a great idea that you just had. And I just want to, you know, make parents know and adults know, it's because we're saying, you know, find the three primary colors or the three objects. You know, make this your own. I mean, if you want them to find five objects or you want them to find other colors, you can extend and play this game as long as your child is interested. You don't need to just stop at the primary colors.
No, that's good. Yeah. We never want learning to stop, so you're right. If they're into it, go for it.
Exactly. And then, you know, once they've collected their objects, you feel like, you know, their interest is, or their patience with these little kids is running, their focus is running a little low, then we're just going to ask them to, you know, dig deep in their bag and pull out those objects. And at this time, we're going to reinforce the color to match the object. So if they're younger, you can help them identify each color as they're bringing it out of their bag. Or the older children, like I said, should be able to take out an object, correctly say what color it is, and then sort them into piles. So you can extend this activity even longer by going back into that bag and organizing them by color.
I'm just listening. I don't know if you're going to come in
still showing interest. You could also ask
questions about
the items. You know, we don't have to just stay with primary colors. You know, you could ask them to count
items
aloud. So 1, 2, 3,
yeah,
up to the 9.
He said
or
that meeting.
Another thing is ask them what the object is. If they have a red book, let them say, I have a red book, or what does this object do, or how is it
I'm
used?
Listening.
So, you know, I like it because you can go way beyond this initial focus of colors.
It's a meeting.
You can encourage
that I'm
speaking and counting and thinking skills.
Yes, there's so much you can do with this. And I just want to, again, a kind of a side note, is I love that this activity is really an independent game for the child or group of children if you're doing this in the classroom or for a play date. But as you know, as the adult, it's really important that we let our children take control of this game. You know, it's your job as the parent and the adult to give them the instructions, but really let them, you know, figure this one out on their own. Let them really hunt for the objects. You know, give them that independence and that space to play this game. That's where the learning really happens and the development happens. I know as an adult it's so easy sometimes just to do the activity for them or, you know, oh, look, is that a red object over there? But really challenge them to do this on their own. And, of course, younger children might need a little bit of guidance, but really try to step back and see how capable and see what they can do on their own.
And I love this because, remember, all you need for this activity is just some type of a bag and some red, blue, and yellow objects. So if the listeners, if you have any questions about today's idea, remember, you can go to the website, ifnotyouwho.org, and under that, you can look for Phase 1, Month 4, Activity 8 for additional information.
Well, I hope
everybody has enjoyed.
I'm right here. Are you there? Debbie?
Yes, I'm here.
Love the noise in the background. We love kid cameos on radio, and it's funny because I've had moms on the show, and, you know, their kids are in the background or who's nursing somebody, and they're like, I'm so sorry. It's like, hey, it's Word of Mom Radio. We are all prepared to hear children.
Yes, we try.
So, and I love the idea of having the kids go to their, you know, this is my oldest son just says whatever. I always got that.
Dory, I'm getting like every other word from you. I'm sorry.
Oh, can you hear me now? Is that better?
That's much better, yes.
Okay. Up here on Lake Kitchewan, the signal goes in and out.
Okay.
I was just saying that when my kids were younger, my oldest, you know, I would always let them dress themselves. I'd give them about a half hour before we had to leave for them to get their clothes. And my oldest son would just grab whatever he felt like, and it was comfy. My middle son would go into the drawer and pull out a shirt and a pair of pants, and you had to see him matching to make sure that the colors blended right and everything. It was hysterical. It was actually, I had both, you know, and then my daughter, forget it, she's a fashionista, but that was a whole different story because, you know, my sons are only 18 months apart. My daughter, my middle son is 2 and almost 3 years older than she is. So it was just the two of them, and it was just so funny because Danny was like, you know, he always reminded me of Little Rascals. You know, Spanky was always in the shirt that was like 3 sizes too big with his hat on the side. That was Danny, and Rob was like Mr. Coordinated, and he had a tactile issue. So when he was little, he liked all of his clothes really tight. Everything had to fit him perfectly when he was younger. Because he had feel, he had a tactile thing. Yeah, he was Mr. Color. Like everything had to match and blend. Yeah. So that's what it made me think. But what a great way and great activities to reinforce colors. That was really fun.
Good. Well, sometimes, you know, when you look at the website, it's, you know, it's like 5 little asterisks that tell you what to do. And I think with productive play, then we're able to say, you know, there was a lot of thought that went into picking that quick little activity, and here's ways you can expand it. So it's a fun way to do it.
And this is awesome. We have 300 months worth of shows. Yes.
And actually, we're getting phase 2 ready to go. We're just redoing the website, giving it a facelift, and that should be done by the end of this month. So there's a lot going on, so we are excited.
That is exciting. And welcome to Declan.
Yes. He's just a joy. He is such a joy and already growing so fast.
Isn't it?
Yeah, and that's when I think of these preschool years that we focused on. It's like these first 5-6 years, they go by quickly, and yet their little brains are working 2.5 times faster than ours are. So we got to get a lot of info in there that's just fun and open up this whole world to them. And Declan already at 6-7 weeks has grown. So it's fun to watch it happen.
Well, my son just turned 26 on Saturday, April 12th is his 26th birthday, and believe that went by in a blink of my eye.
Yes,
I'm serious.
Yes.
I remember my mother saying to me that when you look at life through the eyes of your children, it will just fly by. And I was like, unbelievable.
Yeah.
That 26 years has gone by so quickly.
Well, happy birthday to him. That's awesome. That's great. Every birthday is a reason to celebrate. So, well, thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome, and thank you. So do you know what your next productive play is going to be about?
I think, you know, this one we did colors. I think we're going to do numbers and how we can look at numbers in the world, but I haven't exactly picked the activity. So Liz and I will work on that. And then do we know when the next airing date is?
You will be the second Wednesday of the month.
Oh, okay. So this time we were the third Wednesday. So next time it's Wednesday.
Today the third Wednesday, then it's the third Wednesday. See, you know,
okay.
I need the number show too. Okay? I'll be taking notes on this one.
Okay. Okay. Well, then we'll be working, and we will get the show to you. And thank you so much.
Oh, you are welcome. And for all of you tuning in, thanks so much for being here. Tomorrow we're here on the Mompreneur Model with Startup Nation and the Leading Moms in Business competition. So you guys, Debbie, you should tune in because this competition goes till the 30th of April, and everybody's still eligible. And they will be naming the top 100 mom-owned businesses in the nation.
Okay.
So join us tomorrow for the Mompreneur Model Show at 1 o'clock.
Sounds great. Thanks, Dori.
You're welcome. And everybody, so much for tuning in for Word of Mom Radio. We'll see you again tomorrow. And until then, create a marvelous you. Bye for now.